worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time featuring Crisco.
I had a worm once. Me and him were friends.
Ian Hunter.
Okay, well, I stand corrected. Shut up.
Mickey.
I don't want to be here.
And Lazy E.
NADS is the organic way that you can get hair off your body. Yeah, rub your NADS on your arm.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
It is episode 20 of the podcast that is best listened to without pants, at least according to our very own Ian Hunter.
Ooh. I'm not wearing pants right now. Hope that's acceptable to everyone.
I'm fine with it. My name is Crisco. I am the host of this show, and as I mentioned, I have some people here helping me out. Ian Hunter is here. Hello, sir.
What is going on?
Lazy E is here. I almost just called you E without your preface there. Lazy E.
My homie name.
Speaking of Ian, last night I got a message from Ian's wife that included the phrase, "He's such an a-hole."
What?
I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
Hot for teacher, throwing jade. And we've got Mickey here as well. Hi, Mickey.
I'm a little concerned.
I think you have a right to be. I would be concerned as well. Anytime somebody's got to take their problems to the likes of Lazy E, you know it's gotten bad.
Voice of reason.
Yeah, right. I actually explained him today to someone as being the guy who often tells me when I'm wrong or when I'm being an idiot. Yeah, he's my voice of reason.
Let that
sink in.
Yeah.
Lazy E is someone's voice of reason.
Uh-huh. That is me. And think about that.
Did you want to know a secret?
I am the voice of reason.
That's why we don't wear pants while doing this podcast.
Our website is afreakaccident.com. If you'd like to send us an email, please.
Just kidding,
please,
we wear pants.
Hit us up, freaks@afreakaccident.com. Send us an email about absolutely anything.
He's turning a great shade of red. This is great. We just started.
Freaks@afreakaccident.com. That's the website. When you're there, click connect on the menu bar. All our social media links are there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, all that great stuff. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a good review. If you're an Android user and you need an easier way, Google Play Music. We can be found in the podcast section of that as well. And do not forget also, if you are finding us on these different podcasting apps, Google Play Music, iTunes, or Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, any of the other places you might be listening. Some of them only carry so many episodes. If you want to hear every episode we've ever done, we've got the full archive at podcast.afreakaccident.com. So thanks for being here for this episode, though. I'm excited about this one. I think we're all stoked about it. But now I just want to hear what the heck is going on with Hot for Teacher and why she's talking to you, Lazy E.
So again, Hot for Teacher, Ian's wife, I'm sitting there just relaxing at home, and all of a sudden I get a bloop on my phone. I'm like, what is this? And I see Hot for Teacher. I'm like, why is Ian's wife messaging me? This could mean bad things for his marriage. I'm not sure.
Again, voice of reason back again.
So I open it up, and I
quit this bitch.
Sorry, Ian. So here's what the message said. Holy, all caps, exclamation points everywhere. Holy effing God! You were right about Ryan! We were talking about The Office when she was in our office at the radio station. He goes, he's a total a-hole! And he goes, we just finished season 3 and you were so right! I kind of wish I could start shooting flaming darts from my eyes and burn his soul!
Wow.
And she goes,
Jesus!
As annoying as Kelly is from The Office, she didn't deserve that, and ends it with, flaming darts to his soul! So I was wondering,
they know nothing!
She got so worked up over watching The Office. Have you guys ever watched a TV show that has gotten you so worked up that you've reacted to episodes this way?
Like with sheer disdain and anger and emotional outpouring?
Yeah, something just makes you just freak out or cry, or, you know, you get so emotionally invested that you that becomes a real thing to you.
I can tell you the one show that is still running, for the life of me, I have no idea why. But Once Upon a Time, have you ever watched that show?
I've heard of
it. That show frustrates me because of how bad it is. But I love to hate watch it because it's literally a case study in how not to do a story and how not to write characters. And yeah. So I get frustrated because it's like, how is this so dumb? That completely contradicts the thing that happened 5 minutes ago! So yeah, maybe I have that kind of reaction there.
I can tell you that while she was typing that to you, she was saying that out loud.
Oh, my God.
I mean, because I was sitting there going, wow, that Ryan guy, he's a pretty big jerk. And she's, I mean, just raging.
Did she ever think about, you know, therapy, pills?
Why don't you bring that up to her and see how that goes?
I think I just did.
Well, thanks. You're going back to my house tonight because I'm not dealing with that alone.
Nope.
I mean, I think, honestly, you know what? When Lost was on TV, too, I was really emotionally invested in that show. Like, stuff would happen, and I would be, like, shattered for hours after the show was over.
Admittedly, I was that way with The Office when I was watching it live. Like, it was happening as I was watching. This was an ongoing show, and it was Jim and Pam. You knew they were going to get together, but you're sitting there going, oh, come
on! For the love of God, get together already!
Please! Why won't you just kiss her?
Don't you see how much she loves you?
She's hot! Come on! And that's how that all started.
That starts, what, episode one, season one, pretty
yeah.
much?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mickey, this requires you to have watched TV at some point in your life. But
this is why I don't watch TV.
Do you get too emotionally invested
in
things?
No,
I was going to say.
But I don't understand the whole emotional investment in a TV show.
Well, it's like anything, if you read a book or you watch a movie, it's like if you're enjoying what you're experiencing, your emotions will pour out because of it. That's the whole
idea. Enjoying is one thing. Yeah. Having emotions over something that's fake is a completely different thing.
As someone who's done theater, isn't the idea to elicit an emotional reaction from the person who's viewing your work?
Yeah, kind of.
So there you go.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, ha! Face.
Well, that's a good sign of a good show when they're able to build characters to the point where they're so real to you. And then The Office did that. That's one of the very few shows that every extra was built to a point where you knew their background. And they did that so well.
I was that way when during How I Met Your Mother with Robin Scherbatsky. I would get so angry at her character every time, I'm like, you're just playing everyone against each other.
My God. Maybe you both should go to therapy.
We're made for each other, what can I say?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Did we talk about the real dweeby picture of him at all recently
on
the show?
No,
I don't think we did, yeah. I was going to say, man, no.
Have you looked at his face?
Oh, you should have saw it
now,
before.
Now, wait a second. Yeah, no.
Yes, the face on Ian is perfect. The shock.
Fire.
Throwing fire around.
Hand. Talk to it. I know no one can see that, but my hand is right beside her face.
Wow.
I'm glad we're all so immature here.
You're the one who started it.
So I see this picture of Ian that he's...
And so I'm only bringing this up because he just said they're made for each other. And yeah. You must be, because there's no other excuse for this.
Was it your wife that posted this up?
No, it was me. It was our 7-year anniversary being together was a couple weeks ago.
And it was at the prom that he posted the picture. And immediately when I see it, his suit looks like a robe, Mickey. Like, and so I comment under it, nice fitted suit, Ian. And me and Crisco were talking about it. Actually talking about it to your wife.
Yeah.
And I turned to Lazy. I said, man, what a dweeb. I said, here's the thing. A Hoffer teacher looks basically exactly the same now that she did back then. She hasn't changed much. She's always been a good-looking girl. And she's very, like, you know, she kind of has, she comes off as high class. You know, she's very like I said, her hair's done nice is what I mean. She's always dressed well, that sort of thing. And then, like, so there she is. And then there's him. And he was such a dweeb in high school. Now, here's the thing. I can admit it. You're a good-looking dude now. But, man, did you grow into those looks? And I'm saying...
Yeah, Mickey. The three dudes here think I'm a good-looking guy, including myself.
I'm glad the dudes do.
Wow.
My wife says I'm very handsome. Screw you, Mickey.
No. Mickey, you got to understand. His face, look at it right now. Now, imagine it squished.
Yeah.
That was Ian back in the day. day.
Oh, he's going to pull up the picture for me.
Yeah, I got
to
find the
really
picture.
Really make fun of him and poke the bear.
He had to finish going through puberty before things finally paid off for Hot for Teacher. And I even said, for her, this is like the equivalent of Chris Pratt's wife when she married him when he was still a fat, dorky loser. And now, like, he's a sex symbol in Hollywood and he's an action hero and everything else. It's kind of the same thing. Yeah, right? He just showed Mickey the picture. Now, dweeb, right? Look at him.
I mean, now, I pulled the picture up. Now, I'll say this. I had lost a ton of weight before this picture.
Okay. Chipmunk so cheeks going on.
The jacket itself was, you know, it fit whenever I was about 20 pounds heavier. So whenever I picked my tux up, because I had gotten fitted, you know, months before. So I had lost a ton of weight. But when you take the jacket off, it actually looks pretty good.
You look like Gandalf in that suit.
Worked at a tuxedo shop for quite a time there, so I know that they can refit those.
Well, they didn't, so... Yeah. And I didn't care. I was going to prom, and Virginia, as you all know, was way out of my league.
Yes,
and
way out of your league.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she's still out of your league.
I'm okay with
but
that.
The fact is, back then, she was way out your league, and she's still, you know, I mean, see, you know what that proves? You were meant to be together because she saw the personality within. She wasn't turned off by his dweeby, like, prepubescent looks. And
now I can almost grow a beard.
I would like to take this moment also to thank Make-A-Wish for this moment.
Without you, couldn't have happened.
What's happening on the show today?
Oh, man, I love this episode of our podcast.
Yeah?
It's just that there's going to be so many fun things to talk about. We've got possibly the best crowdfunding thing that has ever happened.
Listener, this is the most ridiculous thing that anybody has ever raised money for.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Is this even better than Bodie McBoatface a couple weeks ago?
A thousand times better.
Wow. The airports believe they found a solution for people who hate those long lines with the TSA. We've got a movie segment that has a bunch of stuff worth talking about. Yeah, new trailers, news dropping all over the place. We're going to hit some pop culture. We've got a story about a baby bison who was euthanized after tourists put it in their car. For what reason? I don't know, but we will talk about it. And what your favorite music genre says about you, listener.
You've been waiting for this since last week.
Yes, you have. We're so glad to have you here this week to finally pay it off on a freak accident.
A freak accident. As entertaining as a car crash. That may seem morbid, but hey, people love car crashes. Why do you really think NASCAR is so popular?
I said 9-11, 9-11, 9-11, 9-9-11.
One of my favorite episodes of South Park ever.
It was an amazing episode. This is about 9/11, this segment.
Oh, God.
Because this is what we were talking about. This guy has come up with the worst crowdfunding campaign ever. He wants to raise $1.5 million to recreate 9/11.
Can I chime in here real quick?
Go ahead.
So many questions. The first.
Hold on. I have one.
No, I have one question. No, because it's probably mine. Why?
That was my question.
You stole his bit.
Yeah.
Don't steal the bit. This is the story behind this. Businessman Paul Sallow, what business does he run? I want to know so that I can avoid that marketplace altogether in the future.
Yeah.
Paul Sallow has started a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo.com seeking $1.5 million to purchase a 767 and a building.
Oh, so he really wants... This isn't like a reenactment.
No. He really wants to.
Okay, he should be in jail. Okay.
He intends to fly the plane loaded with jet fuel into the building. Purportedly to prove once and for all what really happened on 9/11.
So he...
Wait. There it is.
Question again?
Yes, sir.
Does he know that's illegal?
I don't know if it's illegal. If you own two things, can't you do two things with them?
Not that.
Can I run my car into my own house? I don't think anybody could punish me for that, could they?
As long as you're not going after the insurance claims for it,
sure. Yeah.
And if you're not drunk.
I think he's trying to do it in China, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they'll let anything happen over there. I don't know if we have any Chinese listeners, so I kind of don't care. The project titled 9/11 Redo.
Oh, no, my God.
Why?
But it's spelled the French way, so it's R-E-D-U-X.
Oh, but it's like naked gun. Redo.
Yeah. Redo. Yeah. Is planned to take place in Thailand. Even more stuff happens in Thailand than in China, where Salo claims to have talked to the Thai military about purchasing a used airplane and a used building. Salo's campaign statement: many people want to know more about 9/11.
Not many people want to go that far.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
He does realize that 9/11 unfolded on the news happening live, and he can just rewatch it.
See, here's what this guy wants to do. Okay, that cut off, and the thing is it had a link to the Indiegogo page. The Indiegogo page is suddenly not there anymore.
Yeah.
It says 9/11 redo is being reconfigured. It will be back soon.
Redoed.
Yeah.
In other words, someone in the State Department called and said, "Hey."
No, you know what this is? This guy is one of those conspiracy theorists, 9/11 truthers. What really happened? He wants to crash a plane into a building to see if that could actually knock a building down, because they don't believe that the planes flying into the buildings were enough to knock those buildings down.
Indiegogo, filled with bands and recreating 9/11. There's a big jump.
Yeah.
Huge jump in that one.
That is quite a chasm of missing space.
Candlebox made their new album because of Indiegogo. This guy's trying to be Osama bin Laden. What the hell happened?
I don't really have a whole lot of words other than just why.
Again, he's a truther. He thinks he's going to disprove and break open the myth that the government was responsible for 9/11 when they did release those new pages from the 9/11 report, didn't they? And we found out actually the Saudi government was apparently funding part of the terrorists who did this. So now they're actually opening the door for 9/11 victims and the families to sue the Saudi government.
Cool.
Yeah. That's what really happened, bro. It wasn't some inside job by our government.
Yeah, not to mention that you'd have to rebuild the whole building the same exact way that it was built, because every building is built different.
Yeah.
And for different areas. Some are built for, earthquake structures, like over in California. Some are just, straight up a mess because they're half a...
Yeah.
You could blow on a building in Thailand and blow it over. You don't need an airplane.
True.
I've turned around on this whole subject. This guy, go ahead. Run your own plane into a building.
Yeah, as long as he's the one flying it. Yeah. Please do us all a favor and smash yourself into that flaming fireball. Please. Because you'll do humanity a favor. We can't have people like this walking around. They're a danger to themselves and others. Have you ever bought into any conspiracy? Because Mickey is a fan of, weird conspiracy theories and things like that. Did you ever buy into the 9/11 thing, or were you too smart for that?
I just kind of sat on the fence with it.
Yeah.
I was, I could understand what they were going with. I can also understand that a building could just collapse and implode on itself because of the amount of weight put into it.
Massive structural damage, not to mention everything inside it is on fire.
Like I said, poorly built buildings, they do exist.
And it does happen. Yeah,
I've seen them locally twice in the last year.
Yeah, you work in one, don't you?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, there was a waterfall coming through the ceiling at her place.
It wasn't a waterfall, it was a monsoon.
But yeah, no, I can, the truthers, to an extent, I get why you'd have questions, I suppose. I mean, when you're talking about, the biggest terrorist attack ever on American soil, I could understand why you might question whether or not you were being told everything. Yeah, but the stuff that they purport, though, the stuff that they try and say, oh, no, yeah, it was because there was explosives hidden in the towers and everything else. It's like, that's not, none of that is possible. Not only does the manpower to pull off something like that not exist, not only would the number of people that you'd have to keep quiet for something like that.
Well, no, the manpower part of it, when they detonate buildings to... in New York City, it only takes a couple people.
You're talking about, though...
It takes a long time for those couple people to do it.
Not a long time, and they do it in buildings that are abandoned, not buildings that are, readily in use by the public and all the people who work in the offices above.
It's like the JFK assassination. You're always going to have different conspiracy theories. There's a whole section of Barnes & Noble with JFK conspiracy theories.
I'm a fan of Occam's Razor. The simplest explanation is most often the truest. So, hey, guess what? A bunch of angry terrorists blew up our buildings. That's what happened.
I like Dollar Shave Club much better.
What?
Occam's razor.
Oh. Oh. I hate you and your terrible jokes.
That was truly terrible.
He's so proud of himself right now.
Yes. You're not funny and nobody likes you.
Shut up, CM Punk, fight a UFC fight. What are we talking about next?
He never will, though. He'll never get there. But if this guy does this, and I want him to do it, I want him to do it so bad. Please tell me he's going to videotape it.
You want right, to watch bro. A suicide?
Yes.
This guy's absolutely.
What's wrong with you?
Add it to the list,
oh, that's
Mickey.
Right. No moral values.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah. Questionable moral values. Not
right.
None. Questionable. Yeah. Give me some credit here at least. Gosh. Up next, what are the airport solution to the TSA lines? We'll find out on a freak accident.
Blah! No more TSA.
Follow a freak accident on Twitter at a freak accident. Crap. I forgot to say Simon Says.
Not familiar with TSA security regulations? Well, come on!
You put your arms like this, you spread your legs like that. We send the pictures back and maybe to the internet. We do the pokey pokey and we touch it all around. That's what it's all about.
Woo! Thank you, Remy, for that. R-E-M-Y.
It's a great explanation.
Why are the lines at airports so long now as opposed to any other time? Does anybody know?
Well, that's because they have less employees.
Who?
The TSA.
Oh, really?
And
have there been
around.
Employee cutbacks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So that would explain. Okay, yeah. Administration cutbacks and increased passenger traffic. Airports are trying to figure out how to deal with the fact that the lines for the security are worse than ever.
Well, there you go.
I've got a really simple solution.
Get rid of the TSA.
Get rid of the TSA. Yeah, get rid of them. That is Politicrisco, but it's also true. It's an unconstitutional organization, not to mention they've never done anything to help anything.
Yeah, there's no proof that this has stopped an attack.
Yeah, there's no proof that we're any safer now than we were before the TSA was established. All I know is it's way more inconvenient now, and my tax dollars are going to something that's a total waste of time.
If anything, it makes people more aggravated as they're getting onto the plane, probably more likely to bomb the plane.
Or, like, you know, try and punch other passengers in the
yeah,
head.
Yeah, that too.
Well, that's the thing. And they look for people who look frustrated. It's like, how can I not be frustrated right now?
Yeah. And that's why so many people are in the lines now. But now airports are finding a way to make you less frustrated.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out a way to manage the lines a little bit.
I know what to do.
What?
Just play this show.
There you go.
Hey!
Pump a freak accident in over the speakers. Everybody will be fine. Either
less
that or they'll
aggravating.
Commit mass self-harm, less and you won't have to worry about them being in the mine or the line anymore.
The mine?
The mine? Yeah, no, I misspoke. Shut up. okay, so here's the thing now. They are turning to, music.
Nice.
And other forms of entertainment to help keep tempers in check. Musical performers at some airports are getting a little more creative. This coming from NBC News. Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky International Airport is now inviting miniature therapy horses and their handlers from the nonprofit Seven Oaks Farms Miniature Therapy Horses Program to Hamilton, Ohio to visit the terminal several times a month.
That's where I'm going to be a layover when I go to Vegas.
Oh, dude, maybe you get to pet a baby horse.
Yeah! Oh,
you are
I'm
really
so
excited. Wow.
Get video for the podcast if
absolutely.
You do.
Absolutely.
I know some have had musical performers show up and play music for people. So, Mickey, get a band together and offer to play for the idiots that get stuck at the airport locally here.
I know they're probing your butt, but here's one that you'll really love. Don't sing American Pie. Please, God, don't sing that.
My Sharona.
Oh, God, that guy's touching my Sharona. And we'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. And some have even hired clowns.
Oh, that can't go over.
Oh, oh my man. God. Hot for Teacher would punch that clown in the face.
I thought the idea was to make people less stressed and worried and, you know, concerned.
Yeah, no, apparently not.
You know, clowns make any rational person very, very uncomfortable.
Because they're not natural things. They're just freaky. Like, why? Why are they all in that car?
I don't know.
Why do they have noses that squeak? That doesn't make sense.
I said off the mic that that story about the guy who wants to buy the plane and fly it into the building, that is proof that God exists, that that story is real. Clowns are cause for questioning God's existence because that thing should not exist
at all.
Clowns should never be real.
No, they're a test of our will.
If you're in an airport, just go to Netflix and just keep playing comedy specials over and over again. That's your best bet.
Eventually, I'm going to get tired of that crap, too.
Yeah, I don't want to stand in line, have to take off my shoes, have to take off a belt, have to put a bag on the conveyor belt. I've been through this way too many times. Yeah.
Just watch Eddie Murphy Raw and be happy, okay?
No, it's seriously, just abolish the TSA. It's a waste of time. This is a funny story, though. Did I ever tell you about the one time I did when I went through the body scanner?
You told me this.
I told you this story? Okay.
I'm a little scared.
So this was when the body scanners were first being put into service.
Yeah.
And everybody was freaking out about them, that, oh, the x-rays, it gives you radiation doses and everything else. And me being, I went to school for nuclear engineering, actually. Listener may not know that. Yeah, how I ended up here. Your guess is as good as mine, but I understand that it's not harmful, the radiation and the doses that you get from the machine, right, or whatever. But, people were saying, it takes pictures of you naked and that could end up online. And so I was excited. I wanted to be able to talk about my experience on the radio. So I purposefully picked the line with the body scanner in it. And I was like all excited. And the TSA guy actually, it was actually a smaller airport, so the lines weren't that long. He was actually like, what are you so giddy for? And I said, I'm stoked to get into the body scanner. I said, I can't wait. He goes, really? He goes, because a lot of people have been complaining. I said, oh, I know. I said, but I cannot wait. I said, I'm so excited. So my turn came. I jumped up, and you have to stand in it with your arms over your head. So I put, they're like, put your arms over your head. So I put my arms over, and I just went, huh, and I flexed.
So how was the guy with the little white glove?
No, the girl with the thing, the computer screen, she bursts out laughing. I was like, I got done and I walked out. I said, I'm glad you have a sense of humor. I said, anybody else would have tackled me to the ground and I'd be on my way to Gitmo, so thank you.
This was before the whole, TSA thing. They were just checking people. They would do random selections.
Sure, right.
First time I go to Vegas with a bunch of my buddies. First buddy, Chris, goes through. Everything's fine. Buddy Mark goes through. Everything's fine. My Filipino friend Neil goes through. You're getting checked. All of us had to get checked after Neil goes through because he wasn't white. That's the only thing we can make. They said it was randomly selected. He goes, yeah, you randomly selected the Filipino after the white people.
You match the bad part of our color palette, determining card here.
When we went down to Philly over last summer, we went to go see one of the comedians, and we were in a larger stadium. And Murderer had the bright red hair, and what is he, 6'2", 6'3"?
Tall dude.
We have 20 people between us and the door, and they're going to check, and all of a sudden they stop him with the scanner, and the guy goes, random check, and we all looked at each other, nobody knew anybody else, and they went, yeah, okay.
He's a frightening looking man, we have to make sure he's on straight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I just really, at the end of the day, you want to solve the problem, like I said, just get rid of the TSA. I mean, I know lines have never been short at the airport, even before that, because you always had to go through the security check, but it just seems like a lot of this stuff is taking off the shoes, the belt,
it's too much.
Lot of it is just too much. It's a waste of time. Just speed up the line, and you won't have to hire clowns or giraffes or anything else to come in and keep people occupied.
Or get one of those little grinder monkeys, because they're really funny.
Hey, maybe they have a puppet show.
Oh, yeah!
Get a puppet show at the airport.
Hey, how are you doing? My butt's getting probed.
A freak accident. It's the best mistake ever made.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, man, the movie news was coming hot and heavy this week.
Hot and heavy.
Yeah, both.
Not just cold and heavy. Not hot and light.
Yeah, no, hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Man. It's been a crazy week for movie news. I mean, first of all, we had the new trailer come out for the new Ghostbusters movie.
And guess what? I still hate it.
I can't imagine why.
Spoiler alert.
Lazy E's not happy.
No. I'm going to say it again. You don't need to fix perfection.
Yeah.
The original Ghostbusters is perfect.
Yeah.
don't, why?
And that's the thing. A lot of people are, there's a huge divide on the internet over this movie. People are accusing everybody who hates the idea of this movie as, oh, you just hate it because it's an all-female cast.
Yes, yes, I do.
Okay, so there you go. Mickey actually does hate it because it's an all-female cast.
I think it's a stupid idea.
I mean, it, there you go. You're entitled to that opinion, too.
I am.
I mean, I wouldn't... I'm more so on the side of Lazy E, and that's the thing. A lot of people are just upset at the fact that here we go again with another completely unnecessary reboot.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to happen, and not only does it not need to happen, this is definitely not a movie that needs to be rebooted.
No.
Some movies, you know, I could see where you want to reboot it because, oh, you know, but literally, like you said, this movie was perfect the way it was. Ghostbusters was fine. It doesn't need to be rebooted. In the same way, I would argue constantly, if anyone ever tries to reboot Back to the Future, I will kill them.
Oh.
That movie is perfect. It do not reboot Back to the Future. Don't do it. Same thing. Don't reboot Ghostbusters. Unnecessary.
I used to watch it so much as a child. My mom said she had to hide it on me because I was quoting it. And mind you, that movie is not what a little kid should be quoting ever. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah. Come in, Ray.
But saying that, when it came to the theater twice in this area,
you saw it both times.
I went to go see it. Why? Because it doesn't lose the value.
Would you reboot Groundhog Day? No.
No.
Again, perfection. Would you reboot Citizen Kane? No. Of course not.
They're rebooting Ben-Hur. It's coming out in a few weeks.
I know. How insulting is that?
I mean, technically speaking, Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston was also a reboot, you know, from back in the 30s, but it's Charlton Heston.
Right.
You don't reboot Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the love of everything that's holy.
This is Bridesmaids with ghosts.
Essentially.
It's the same, basic, same cast.
Well, that's the thing, and I've seen people pointing out a good thing, like Paul Feig, who's the director and the screenwriter and everything else, he's not great. A lot of people are concerned about that. People are more concerned, I've seen more people concerned about the fact that it legitimately doesn't look like a good movie, rather than the fact that it's an all-female cast. That doesn't bother me at all, and I've said that before on this show. If you wanted to do a movie with those four same girls, and I even said, if you wanted to do a different concept, why does it, one, need to be Ghostbusters, and two, why does it need to be a Paul Feig movie? It doesn't... those are the two biggest concerns for me.
It's the number one disliked movie trailer on YouTube history.
The first trailer was, actually.
The first one.
The new trailer, which just came out, I think, 2 days ago, you can see that at a freak accident. .com. We've got it listed there. You could let us know what you think. It's like people have said, oh, this trailer's way better. I'm not really seeing it. It still doesn't look like a great movie.
There was a teaser of this trailer when I went to go see Captain America last weekend, and I can honestly say it's the first time I've ever done this. I was texting during this trailer because I had no interest in it whatsoever.
I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't look good.
No.
That's all it is. It doesn't look good, and it has nothing to do with anything else. It just doesn't look like it's going to be a good movie, and I think people are doubly insulted by the fact that you went and tarnished a perfectly fine movie in the name of rebooting it for whatever reason.
We'll forget it in 5 seconds anyways.
Yeah,
so.
More than likely. I mean, I doubt it's probably going to bomb. I can't imagine many people are going to see it, so...
This concept of this movie should have died whenever Harold Ramis passed away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Whenever he passed away, any chance of there being a successful reboot, if that's the word we want to use, die whenever he died.
Or even sequel at this point. Yeah. Don't break the equipment, Ian.
I'm very animated over this.
People are even saying, like, you know, oh, well, you know, would people be as upset if this was like a Ghostbusters 3? It's like, well, you can't do Ghostbusters 3 now either because Harold Ramis is dead.
And Bill Murray's not going to do it.
I've seen people saying, oh, what if it was the guy version with Channing Tatum and everything else that they were talking about doing? Like, what if it was that? Here's the thing.
That's not a reboot.
Well, here's the thing. Even if, I still say, don't do that either. Because again, the Ghostbusters franchise was, you know what? It was fine the way it was. Say what you want about 2. There's plenty of conflicting opinions.
Oh, I love 2.
You love 2?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like 2. It is what it is. Doesn't really matter. But
the
point is, you're talking Harold Ramis is still dead. I don't want that movie either. Just leave Ghostbusters alone. Let it be what it was and don't touch it.
It's like rebooting Caddyshack.
Yeah. Don't reboot Caddyshack either. Amazing comedy there. Don't reboot Blues Brothers. No. Don't reboot Animal House. Just don't do it.
Just leave them alone. Leave them alone.
Leave alone movies that are perfectly fine on their own. Another bit of movie news that came down, though, was in the aftermath of Batman v Superman not pulling down really what Warner Brothers expected it to do. I mean, it's at like $800 million right now after being out since March. Just to compare that, Civil War has been out for 2 weeks and it's already almost at that number.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's in the aftermath of that, they've done a couple different things.
Are we talking worldwide numbers or just domestic numbers?
Worldwide. Okay. They've done a couple different things. One, Ben Affleck is now executive producer of Justice League.
Oh, wow.
That's wow.
Which, I mean, he is a dude who loves comic books and he especially loves Batman. So if you're going to have this guy be in charge of Batman, which seems to be what they're doing, they're going to let him be the director of the next solo Batman movie, which he's going to also star in. You might as well give him creative control of the character in Justice League, too.
The dude's got two Oscars next to his name. He knows what he's doing.
He's a talented filmmaker. Yeah. You can't deny that. And I think his acting has definitely gotten better with time. And he was awesome as Batman and Bruce Wayne in this movie. So.
And you know that means Matt Damon's going to somehow make it into these movies. It's a guarantee.
God, I hope so. That would be hysterical.
I hope so.
What if Matt Damon is Robin?
Oh my God.
What if he's like Dick Grayson? That would be perfect, right?
I was envisioning the penguin.
Why the penguin?
I don't know why.
Is it because he's short? You got something against short people?
Yeah.
I want this to happen. I didn't see Batman v Superman, but I want that to happen.
What they've also done is Warner Brothers has now essentially sectioned off, whereas it used to be Warner Brothers Pictures was in charge of everything. Now they've created subdivisions. So, for instance, this one person now is in charge of all the Lego movie properties now. This other person is going to be in charge of everything Harry Potter. This person's going to be in charge of all comedies and you know, dramas. This person's going to be involved with all action and adventure and sci-fi.
That's a great idea because you could get overwhelmed trying to blanket it all under one umbrella. Now people will be able to hone in on one specific thing.
So what they're doing here is they've created now a subdivision of Warner Brothers called DC Films. That is the official division now, and it's going to be headed up by John Berg, who is the current executive VP, and the best move they could have made, Jeff Johns, who is the one of the executives of DC Comics. Cool. And one of the best comic book writers of our era is now going to be the executive producer of all these DC films.
Isn't this somewhat similar to what Disney did with Marvel?
Well, yeah, because Kevin Feige is the Marvel Studios president, and he is deeply, deeply entrenched in the comic book culture and everything else. He's a fan. I think he's been working for Marvel for years and everything else, so they found a guy who respects the comics to head up the creation of the movies. Now it looks like Warner Brothers is trying to duplicate that by putting Jeff Johns in there. Here's a dude who's deeply entrenched in the comics, has written some of the best comic book stories you'll ever read.
Yeah.
Now he's going to help guide the ship. Great move. I mean, that makes me instantly more excited about what the movies are going to what the DC films are going to be down the road.
It's a proven theory that works. Go with it.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it. You've seen success on one end already. Why not just try and duplicate that success for yourself? Let's see. What's my next bit of news here?
Oh my gosh.
The problem is it's all on my phone. Okay. So jumping off of that, apparently, the Margot Robbie, her portrayal of Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad is being so well received by early screenings and everything else. They're talking about giving her own movie, and they're going to spin it off into like a female hero / villain movie for DC. So they're talking about her, Batwoman, Batgirl, the Birds of Prey team. So there's going to be a lot of what were you going to say?
All I can tell you is Harley Quinn alone has made me do something I never thought I would do.
I don't think we need to know about this.
What? Kind of in that direction. They made me like Hot Topic simply because they came out with girl clothing that replicates Harley Quinn, but it's sexy clothing. Let me tell you.
You approve mightily is what you're saying.
Crisco, I'm going to want you to put one of those on.
Well, there we go. Yeah. We've hit that stage of the program. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah. You've asked me something that, thank you, I would be happy to.
That's freaks at a freakaccident.com.
Transformers 5 has gotten an official title.
Gross.
Got an official title this week. Yeah. Yeah, Transformers 5. Why?
I just wish they would stop. Stop killing my childhood. Yeah. Why must you do this?
Everybody's ruining Lazy E's day.
Yeah, the title is Stop Screwing With My Life.
Age of Extinction, Transformers Age of Extinction might have been the worst movie I've ever seen.
Really? I think it was... I mean, okay, let me put it this way.
It was terrible!
Here's the thing. The first Transformers movie was actually... I really enjoyed it.
The first
one
wasn't bad.
The second one was god-awful. Like, atrocious. The third one was a little bit better. Still god-awful. This last one, Age of Extinction, I would argue was... probably just as bad as the third one, whatever the third one was called. I don't even remember at this point.
Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon. Still terrible, though! They've been nothing but terrible since the first one. Stop making these movies! And now the fifth one is called The Last Knight. K-N-I-G-H-T. The Last Knight. What does that mean? I don't know. I can't remember anything about that from the cartoon, so I kind of don't care.
Trying to copy off of Batman?
Maybe.
Is Megan Fox in all of these?
No. They booted her out after the second one.
Okay.
She wasn't in the third, and Shia LaBeouf wasn't in the fourth. But they're bringing back Mark Wahlberg's character for the fifth now.
They're also bringing back the guy who played...
The military guy.
He's back in it.
What is his name? Josh Dermal or something like that?
I can't remember.
Durhamel?
Not important enough to remember.
Josh Dugamel?
Is You're it just... Fergie's husband?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I have no idea what his name is.
I didn't even know he was married to Fergie.
He is. Good for him.
Yeah. Fergie Ferg.
Well done, sir.
I will say this about the second Transformers movie. I enjoyed it, but I went in expecting nothing. So I had my expectations so low that I enjoyed it.
But here's the thing. The movie was worse than being nothing, though. It was actually... It hurt my eyes and my brain.
I went in to watch giant robots beat each other up. That's what I got. I wasn't looking for anything else.
You know what? You go into these movies wanting to see an apocalypse type of event. And it happened. They killed the 80s. They killed the 80s.
You know what, though? These movies are fun to hate watch, though.
They are.
No, they're not.
You get popcorn and soda, and you make fun of it the whole time you're watching it. That's a fun experience.
Stop bastardizing my childhood. Stop it.
We don't
Michael
need any
Bay,
help.
Go away.
These movies are becoming a good lineup for science mystery.
Science mystery theater. Now you're bastardizing that part of my life, Mickey. You and Michael Bay are out to kill me.
Worse.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Go to the next thing.
That's what you meant.
I can't do this anymore.
Yes.
You're right, though. These would be great to get the MST3K treatment.
Can we do this or just like as a show? We just all get together on a Saturday night and do this?
A while ago, we had talked about this. We talked about this on a previous podcast that we did. But there's going to be a movie about Tetris.
Tetris. I hope this is the soundtrack the whole way through.
Yeah, this is the whole thing, yeah. How are you going to turn this into a movie? How is it possible?
They already did it with Angry Birds.
Yeah, but Angry Birds at least had characters. Tetris has blocks that are falling in different patterns that you try to get a straight line so that they disappear.
And what happens when Fred the block falls?
I now know the plot for Transformers 5.
Oh, no!
Here's the best part, though.
Here's the best part.
You ready for this? Tetris, not only... I know they were trying to make it into a movie. It got the green light. Not only will it exist, it has an $80 million budget.
What?
Not only does it have an $80 million budget, it will be a trilogy.
He is so mad he can't even talk.
What? How can you... What?
I'm concerned how you're going to get one movie out of this. They're telling me they're going to do three.
Is there a backstory about Tetris that
we
don't know about?
No! It's blocks that fall! And you try and make the lines for them to disappear!
I know what the game is. I'm just saying, was it based off of something?
No!
You
play it in the gas station when you're waiting for your oil change to get done.
I know what the second movie's going to be about, the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, the Rubik's Cube, the movie.
In other... video game news, when it comes to movies, Nintendo has come out and said they will be going back into movies in the very near future.
Metroid, make a Metroid movie or I will not be happy ever. I will not be satisfied. But going off of this, the fact that Tetris is going to be a movie. Do you remember how bad the movie Battleship was? They made a movie?
They did. Yeah. And it was bad. There is one good part of that movie. It's when all the World War II veterans come out and blow stuff up for about 10 minutes. Best part of that movie.
Yeah.
Makes it kind of worth it.
They turned the board game Battlefield into a movie.
Battleship.
Battleship, yeah.
I knew what you meant. Got it.
Don't care. My mind
it's
is hurt.
It's truly awful.
Here's the best part. Not only are they going to turn Tetris into a movie, they're also going to make movies out of Centipede and Missile Command, the classic Atari games.
Frogger?
I'm sure Frogger's coming. Okay. I'm sure there'll be an Asteroids movie, too, which, I mean, we've essentially already had Armageddon and Deep Impact, but, you know, this will just be about a ship in outer space going pew, 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 pew.
They should keep them very flat, like 2D. Yeah. That would make it perfect.
How are you going to make Missile Command? That was the thing where the missiles are coming down, and you got to fire missiles to head off the other missiles. How are you going to make a movie out of that?
They're trying to kill my childhood!
I don't know how they're going to make this movie, but I can almost guarantee that Liam Neeson's going to be in it.
I hope so.
That's the only way I'm going to go see it, man.
Michael Bay has to produce it, too, so it's just one large explosion.
Yeah. Liam Neeson and Will Smith are going to be in these movies, guys.
Oh, man, that'd actually be... I would watch that movie, actually.
Big Willie style.
I give up, though. They're totally out of ideas in Hollywood. Yeah, they're totally out of ideas. To the point where they're pulling... When's Solitaire, the movie, coming out? I'll go see that. Seriously, though, I there are some really good movies coming out that I'm looking forward to, though. I'm looking forward to Independence Day, Resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Looks awesome.
Speaking of childhoods, that one was mine.
Suicide Squad looks great. We've got Wonder Woman coming out next year. The Jason Bourne movie looks awesome that's coming out. Yeah. So there's redeeming qualities. So enjoy your summer at the theater, my friend. Up next, a baby bison that suffered the consequence of idiots on a freak accident.
Look up a freak accident on Instagram.
You're so beautiful.
Get an exclusive peek inside the podcast with pictures and videos of our recording sessions and general tomfoolery. Not to mention, you can see for yourself that the face for radio thing is 100% true.
Do you have any idea how completely gross that is?
Follow us at a freak accident.
My neighbor have a bison and he funny ass. And anytime a posse want to put me real bad.
Man, there really are songs for everything, aren't there?
There really is.
You really know how to track them down, pal. Our professional producer over here, Lazy E. That's Nisha B with bison.
The B stands for bison.
I assume so, yeah.
It has to be.
What's the country of origin with this?
Bison.
Okay.
This story just infuriates me on so many levels. Did you hear last week about the couple who were tourists at Yellowstone National Park and they were fined for interfering with wildlife because they took a baby bison and they put it in the back of their car because they were concerned that it was going to freeze. It was going to get too cold and it was going to freeze.
Yeah, because we've seen all those kids being locked in cars with the windows up. That worked out very well.
You want to know the funniest part about that? I looked up the weather for Yellowstone National. It was in like the upper 40s. They were worried that the bison was going to freeze in the upper 40s.
Where are they from? Oh, God, this chilly upper 40s.
Yeah, I passed by this article on Facebook,
yeah,
and I didn't bother to read it.
No, it's so dumb. Why would you think that a wild animal wouldn't be able to survive the wild?
Why do you think it would be better in your car?
I'm saying, wild animal. You know, they don't survive outside ever on their own. They don't do that. They need your help, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the frig?
Everyone can think of one person in their life who we think would do this, though,
no,
right?
No, I only am friends with intelligent people.
I didn't say friends. I didn't say...
Oh, that's great. I was waiting for you. Yes!
I don't mean friends. I just mean people you know. There's a difference.
I don't know. I would have refused to think that anybody I've ever come across would be that dumb.
I know
we can think of one.
You?
No.
Aside from me.
Oh.
We work with.
I can think of one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably.
Try to eradicate that from your brain.
She would just eat the bison. Raw. Alive.
So.
Yep.
What?
I'll protect you from the government snow.
Yeah.
No, I am not dumb enough to put an animal in my car that is from the wild.
Yeah. I said, why would a wild animal need your help surviving the wild? It doesn't make sense. So first of all, they put the bison in the car. They got fined. They took the bison out of the car. The rangers threw the animal back into the field or whatever. But here's where the story takes a dark turn. They had to put the bison down.
Oh, no. Why?
The baby bison. They had to kill it. They had to euthanize it because when they tried to bring it back to its herd, the herd rejected it.
Oh, because it had human. It was around
probably
humans.
Because it smelled like people. Yeah, the herd rejected it. They wouldn't take it back, so it was abandoned, left on its own. This baby that can't fend for itself, and then it started approaching people and cars.
Please take me
in. Please take me back. You're the only hope I have. So it was creating a safety issue, so they had to put the freaking thing down.
Well, they couldn't, like, send it to a zoo or something.
Well, apparently, they said that a lot, they've been getting a lot of backlash. People are like, well, the funniest thing is I love their comment. When they said they had to euthanize it, they're like, I hope everyone's learned their lesson. It's like,
what?
The bison's sitting there going, hey!
Was this a threat? Like, yeah. Listen, you keep screwing off at Yellowstone, more of these, you're going to die.
Now your kids won't act up because you know what's going to happen next. Learn your lesson.
But people were complaining that, you know, why did you have to kill it? Why couldn't you take it to a zoo or something? Apparently, there's some kind of disease going around, like, the bison herds right now, so there's a quarantine.
Ah.
So they would have had to go through all this quarantine protocol, and I guess they didn't have the money, resources, or manpower to pull that off, so they just said, well, let's just take the easy way out and kill it. Hey, guess what? I'm not blaming the park rangers. I'm blaming those two idiots who decided it was a good idea to put the thing in their car because, right. Oh, he's going to be cold in, like, lower 50-degree temperatures.
But, I mean, from what I understand, that whole scent thing isn't actually true.
It's
animals,
not?
Animals, well, yeah, they'll take their babies back and whatever. So it may have been that the bison was left out in the field because it was already dying.
It could be, I guess.
I mean, usually animals know if, you know, other animals are not doing well. They just kind of leave them off.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
Well, either way, you don't put it in your car.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Well, there is one good resolution to this whole story. Some sweet bison jerky.
Mmm. I wonder what that tastes like. It's probably delicious.
I've had it.
Have
it's
you?
Diseased bison.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't eat
diseased.
That bison.
That's
what? No,
it's,
no.
It's dried out. It's fine. Drying stuff out takes away disease. Don't you know that?
Right.
Yeah. When you have a disease and you go to the doctors, they put you in an incubator. Boom. Disease gone.
I wonder what bison steak tastes like.
I've had that too.
Have you?
Speaking of things taking a dark turn.
Yeah, we have bison burger in our freezer right now. You can buy it over at Wegmans.
What? Did you get the bison and put it in your car and then
freeze it? That's exactly why I drove all the way out to Yellowstone National Park.
Come here, little bison.
I've never had
bison. Gonna make a hamburger out of you.
I've never had bison steak. Now I want to try it, though.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
I mean, it's not like oh my God. But
I bet it tastes like the American frontier.
It does.
Oh,
it tastes like freedom.
Now I need to try it. It tastes like the Wild West, like a gunfight at high noon.
Mm.
What are the odds that the couple that put this bison in the back of their car used a selfie stick to take a picture with them and the animal?
I'm sure it happened.
Yeah.
They're tourists. Of course they had a selfie stick. Because the traditional selfie stick of finding another human being and saying, hey, would you mind taking a picture of us real quick? Apparently, that's the old school selfie stick. It's another person. You say, hey, can you take a picture of us real quick? And I've actually had people argue with me about that and say, yeah, well, that person could run off with your camera. Yeah, but then you've got a fight on your hands, and then things just get really exciting, you know? Because I'm going to get to chase somebody down and snap their neck now for taking my camera. My day just got better.
Wow. Wow.
Questionable morals, Mickey. Questionable.
Yep.
Not
they are.
No. Questionable. Leave my camera alone. No necks get snapped.
Hi, it's Luke from the Struts here. Could have been me. And you're listening to the best mistake ever made. A freak accident.
We teased you with this at the end of last week's show, saying that we had a list of musical genres, and we were going to talk about what they say about you. If you like these genres.
Well, you have to like some sort of genre.
I don't think I've ever met a person who's been like, nope, don't like music.
I've heard of people like that. They're weird.
Yeah. How could you not like music?
It's all in. Some genre fits your life at some point.
It's the one language that we can all communicate in. Music.
Yeah.
It's cross-cultural, it's cross-generational, it's just a beautiful thing, music, the fact that it exists. So you should like music, and everybody has that genre that they cling to the most. So what are, do you want to start with what our genres are, or do you want to just kind of go down this list a little bit?
Well, I could tell you one of mine.
Okay,
my all-time favorite, maybe some call it a guilty pleasure, but I like rock music. I like, you know, certain kind, but nothing beats the 80s.
Take on me.
take on me.
Take me
home. It's terrible.
I'll be gone.
Here it comes.
So bad.
I took my headphones off.
I was getting there.
Oh, man.
That was beautiful.
That was harmonic.
Up top.
Yeah. So what does the 80s say about me?
Well, that's really interesting. I didn't know that about you, that you liked the 80s.
Oh, I love it.
The 80s says this about you.
He is old.
All right. If you like music from the 80s, it says you sympathize with all things synthesizer. This is from BroBible.com, by the way.
Well, the experts over at BroBible know me.
Much like many of the artists of this decade, you're a one hit wonder, meaning
hang on, Crisco, let that one soak in.
Meaning,
I'm a one hit wonder,
meaning
F you.
Meaning you like drugs. Come on, man, just one hit.
What?
That's what the article said. Don't you can't even pin that on me.
Listen, Bro Bible, you can have a freaking broomstick up your... Go ahead, go to the next.
Oh, that was violent. All right, Ian, your favorite genre of music?
Okay, so I listen to rock primarily, but I'll say my favorite genre actually might be like big band jazz. Might be one of my favorites.
Big band jazz?
Yeah, really.
Sure, is that on this list?
No, it's not on that list.
We'll just say rock then, so this way I'm on the list, but no, big band jazz is probably my favorite to listen to.
Interesting.
Big band jazz.
I like jazz. Jazz music is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means? You're a one-hit wonder and on drugs, Ian.
No, it means I'm seasoned, you know, and I've lasted through the centuries.
We're going to assign music to you.
No, you have not.
We're going to assign a music genre to you. You like grunge.
Yeah.
That's what you get. You're going to shut up and deal with it.
I can live with this. Okay.
This is like big band jazz.
Yeah, why is it going to be Pearl Jam? Why isn't it Nirvana?
Because they were a grunge band, and that is a better album than anything Nirvana ever brought out. 10 is way better.
We like breaking the mold and shattering expectations. You thought it was going to be Nirvana.
I did.
Slammed in your face, Pearl Jam. Didn't see that coming, did you?
So are grunge people on drugs, too?
Of course.
Bro Bible.
Heroin, right?
Yeah.
You feel misunderstood, Ian, but unlike your favorite lead singers, it's just angst and not because literally nobody understands what it is that you're saying. That is true about grunge music. You couldn't understand, especially Eddie Vedder.
Hey, I'm over here. Lately, I remember hitting on fire.
No, you're pronunciating too much. There you go.
Ian, you feel cold and alone. So that's the reason you wear flannels all the time, not just because Eddie Vedder did.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that was strangely accurate.
Yeah, I know. You're a loser.
Now, what if somebody, you know, just a listener, likes gangster rap? Straight out of
Compton. Yeah. I can't sing the song without cursing all the time.
Great movie. I still haven't seen it yet.
Do it.
I want to real bad. Straight out of Compton. Anyway, if you like gangster rap, you've probably always got beef with somebody.
Yo.
It might be the cops. Gangster rap was mostly just a musical version of beef between rappers. However, your personal squibbles aren't set to catchy beats and worth millions of dollars.
I'm going to put it out there. Anybody who likes gangster rap has never used the word squibbles. Unless it was their rap name, to be fair.
If there's a rapper named Squibbles, I'm sorry, no.
Yo, it's Squibbles. Up in the heezy.
And to be fair... it says squabbles, not scribbles. So I screwed that up.
Your grammar sucks so much.
Squabbles.
Yeah.
Squabbles. Squibbles. That was me. I think squibbles is a word that I use sometimes, and I screwed that up. So what about, I don't know, country? What if somebody likes country music? I know Ian really has a distaste for country music, don't you, pal?
It's not... Every day I pray, thank God, maybe it's a distaste. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's a distaste.
Okay. That's whiskey in my water.
Do you know what artist that is? That's Tyler Farr. With whiskey in my water.
That's kind of an inside joke from back in the office there.
Plus, his song is Whiskey in My Water. That does not get any more hick country than that. Good Lord.
That's the thing. We were producing these lines, right, for when we used to do that one.
It was for some music service. Yeah.
For some music service. And the guy comes out and he goes, howdy, y'all. This is Tyler Farr. And you said something
hey, this is Tyler Farr.
And he goes, I bet you the song is, what did you say?
It's I like, said, I bet you this is like a song like I had love with my cousin and beat my wife. And it goes, it's my song, Whiskey in My Water. I was like, that's even better.
See, I think you have to clarify because there's modern country.
And then there's classic
and
country.
And then there's like Johnny Cash.
They're talking about country. Just
Johnny
like
Cash, when he was
more
around,
blues, but
well,
I mean,
more blues. He was more rock. Like, yeah. he was rock.
He did everything.
And roll
he did everything
when he was
Leonard
Skinner, popular.
How about that? There's your country.
Whatever, that'll work.
Okay. It says country music. You're very passionate about explaining what country music really is. Wow, maybe you actually like country music.
No.
And which artists aren't country these days? However, despite hating on them for their pop-like tones, you still fall under the category of their song subjects. Yes, you enjoy drinking beer, shooting deer, and hoping that one day you could do all those things alongside Jesus.
That sounds like Hot for Teachers kind of.
Yeah.
I mean,
based on what you know now,
yeah,
what we told you before the show, yeah,
not no. quite, but,
uh-huh.
yeah,
riding that fine line.
What about R&B and soul?
Oh. You see, sometimes I fool moms. I say, oh Lord,
you didn't play my song. I'm insulted.
Yeah, oh right. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Trapped in the bedroom.
Oh yeah, bedroom. I'm sorry.
You enjoy irony. Singers like Al Green, the Reverend, sing about. You see, sometimes I hold my arms. I say,
Oh God.
And what an innuendo that is coming from a man of the Lord, or should I say, Lord have mercy? It's getting sultry and sweaty up in here. Thanks, Reverend. Now, Mickey, what is your favorite genre of music?
Growing up, I grew up with folk music.
Folk?
Yeah.
But what's your favorite?
Probably hard rock now.
Yeah, a little Godsmack. That's hard rock.
Also from my hometown.
That's true, yes. Sully's from Boston. So you and him have like this copacetic thing then.
Unfortunately.
See, thing is, that's not on this list. I
what?
Mean, it, no, no.
There's rock?
Hard rock is, they break it out into like classic rock, grunge music. Punk rock. I don't know. Let's see what punk rock says. That's probably
sure.
Close,
we'll
right?
go with that.
Not a single pair of your jeans has knees that are intact. You own plenty of pairs of Converse Chuck Taylors.
That's so true.
All of which have Sharpie writings all over the white spaces of the toes.
Not so true.
You probably, at most hours of the day, look as though you've just gotten off a shift from working at an auto body shop because of how greasy your hair is.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's
wait,
just
are there holes in your jeans right now?
Not this pair because they're new.
That's just because you think hygiene is conformity and refuse to oblige.
We just talked about it what last week's show, right?
Yeah.
You so stinky.
Now for me, mine isn't on this list either. Mine is metal.
Metal wasn't on the list?
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
How is it a list?
What?
How is it a list? I mean,
how
do you not have
Bro Bible, bro? I didn't write this crap.
How do you not have
metal?
You know, heavy rock and metal rock on this list.
I don't know. Metal would probably say something about me like, you're violent, you wish death upon people who you feel have wronged you, and, you know, you have a...
Questionable morals,
a bubbling cauldron of volcanic anger just waiting under the surface that you only keep suppressed by keeping your smile and keeping those jokes coming.
Hey, starting to sneak out.
I keep the jokes coming, man. I make laughter. That's what I do. That's the only thing that keeps the aggression down. So that's what metal means for me. Yeah.
Well,
did we learn something today? I don't really think we did.
Yeah, we did. We learned I'm scared of you. You're wearing a German shirt and you're yelling at a Polack. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, way to change history. Way to separate yourself from the hate. Stop the hate, Crisco.
I embrace the hate.
No!
Drink that Haterade.
I said I wanted to make love to you earlier.
Ian, are you checking out?
He just
I'm
did.
Done.
I think he broke. All right.
Headphones off.
Since we finally gotten to that point in the show when we break Ian, I think we can wrap this one up.
I think we should.
Mickey, let them know where they need to go and what they need to do to keep track of us.
You can go to a freakaccident.com.
Yes.
You can go to the homepage connect tab.
Button.
You're just making up it.
Button.
We have never said homepage, I don't think, ever. In it. You press the connect button on the menu bar.
I'll get there eventually.
Sure.
I know it's the homepage. It is a homepage.
It is on the homepage.
It's the main homepage.
The menu bar is there.
At freakaccident.com.
Yes.
You can send us an email at freaks@freakaccident.com.
And, you know, why would we bother to tell them to click connect on the menu bar? Because they find what there?
All of our social media pages.
Right. Yeah. Like what?
Like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Oh, and is iTunes on there?
No, iTunes
is on another page.
Mickey doesn't even know our own website.
No,
fine.
I don't, because I never look at it.
Make it stop.
It's, you know, you want to follow us on
Ian
social.
Checked back in.
You want to follow
I'm still
us on,
out.
You want to follow us on so he's really checking out because he just keeps talking.
Do you visit the homepage on the World Wide Web at www.?
I do, yeah.
Did you search for us on Dogpile?
You go to the connect button on the menu bar, though, because our social media links are there, and, you know, you can follow us at those social media places because the show continues all the time on social
Ooh.
Media. Yeah.
It's a scary thought.
Why are you rolling your eyes at me, Lacey?
Because I can see you dying.
I'm dying inside. I'm trying to hold it together, though, and keep the jokes because I'm going to snap.
And you know what? You can email us freaks@freakaccident.com.
She
or
at
you
least
could,
mentioned that part.
You could go to iTunes. If you go over to iTunes,
leave us a review.
You can leave us a review.
Subscribe. Get the show automatically delivered to you every week.
That's what I was just going
to
say. Yep. Hey, let me do this.
Help us climb the charts.
I could do this.
If they have Android, where do they go?
Android, you go to Google Play Music.
That's right. They got the podcast section up and running. Subscribe there too. Subscribe everywhere. Leave us good reviews everywhere. We love you. We're thankful that you were here today. Please come back. We're so sorry for whatever this became at the end of this. I don't
You
even
always
know
what it's going to become at the end of this show.
I know, and I keep subjecting myself to it. I'm a glutton for punishment, apparently. I'm a masochist. A masochist for
Our
Mickey.
Our followers can be too.
They must be, if they're still listening at this point. Hey, thank you for downloading and listening. Come back next week on the show where we will be playing your favorite game, Yes or BS. Freaks at a freakaccident.com for a freak accident. My name is Chris Go.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
9-9-11. Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
No!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, a freak accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.